You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popchick and his wife and co-author Lisa Popchick. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, love in the heart, mind, and strength. I will live your word in the heart, mind, and strength. I will serve you, love. All the days of my life, I will serve with my heart, mind, and strength.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Dr. Greg Popchick.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic Family Life Coach, Lisa Popchick.
And we are here to help you today with those tough marriage, family, and personal struggles. What are you dealing with in your life? We just came off the weekend here, and I hope that it was a wonderful weekend for you. Unfortunately, for a lot of folks, weekends are tough, and going back to the weekdays are even tougher, unfortunately. And so, you know, what are you wrestling with? And what do we need to do to help you get it out of the way? That's what this show is all about, how to be able to love the Lord with your whole heart, mind, and strength, but also how to resolve those things that are clogging up your heart and causing your mind to spin out of control and causing your strength to fail you. If you're having a tough time today, we want to help you out. All you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825.
You know, Greg, you mentioned, like, clogging up your heart, and I'm thinking, that sounds like one of those cholesterol medication commercials. But really, when we look at our lives and we look at all the research that's being done out there on our health and our mental health and how they really interact so completely, clogging up your heart really is a problem. If there are things that are making your heart, your emotional heart, ache or break today, it's not just good for your mood and your mental health to give us a call and start getting on a road where you can fix the things that are hurting so badly. But it's good for your physical health. We learn more and more every day that what our minds tell our bodies has a direct effect on how our bodies heal themselves, including things like our arteries and our heart and our cholesterol level.
Well, can all be affected
by what we're thinking.
Just last week we were reviewing a study that talked about how working on depressive symptoms and overcoming depression actually has heart benefits, where it increases arterial blood flow and helps to improve vascular health in general. And so, yes, absolutely. You know, when we talk about unclogging our hearts, I mean that, of course, relationally and emotionally, but physically it has an incredible benefit as well. So when you call up 877-573-7825 and talk to us about getting out of your own way in your personal life or dealing more effectively with your spouse or kids or just not feeling like you're walking around with the weight of the world on your shoulders, it's a full and total package where you're getting help in your relationships, for your emotions, but also for your physical health as well. Don't labor under that heavy burden anymore. Call us up. Let us be your Simons of Cyrene, or better yet, let us help you lay that burden down and pick up the yoke that is easy, the burden that is light, the burden of learning how to love as God has us love, which is really, when you come to think of it, a real joy, because it enables us to love in a way that is both generous and full, but healthy as well. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls today about those tough marriage, family, and personal struggles, some new information that really will help you as a family. We can promise you that. It's going to help depression-proof your teens and also make your family stronger. We'll find out more about that in just a couple of minutes. But right now we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. If you're on the line, hang on. If you haven't called in yet, pick up the phone and give us a holler, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
With that, we should start with our prayer in the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence in this hour, and we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and all the good people who are tuning in right now. Lord, we ask your blessing on this hour, that it would be a time of blessing for those who are listening. We lift up those who woke up this morning feeling like there was an elephant sitting on their chest as the week approached. We lift up all of those who are struggling in their marriage today. We lift up all of those who are having a hard time with their kids, We lift up all of those whose hearts are heavy, whose minds are clouded, and whose strength is draining away. And we ask you, Lord, to make us all anew in your image, so that our hearts might be set ablaze with the fire of your love, so that our minds might be quieted and experience the peace that surpasses all understanding, so that we can hear your voice and know your will. And we ask you to strengthen us with your grace, so that we would have the courage to follow your will wherever it leads us, so that we can not only have the strength to withstand the cross, but to find the resurrection that comes after that cross. We ask you, Lord, to be with us in all things, so that we might serve you better and become more perfect in your love. We ask all of this in the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, we're taking your calls in just a few minutes at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Well, before we go to your calls, though, and especially before we start taking this article where we look at some tips that will help your family be stronger and your kids be depression-resistant, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. Today's verse comes to us from John 17, verse 1. I will not leave you orphans, says the Lord. I will come back to you, and your hearts will rejoice. What an uplifting verse. Important to remember that God will never abandon us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. You know, we know that God is faithful. But sometimes, unfortunately, that's just head knowledge. We know in our heads that God is faithful. But in our hearts, we doubt. We fear. We think that, okay, I've overextended my credit with God, and now he's calling in my debt.
Or he's faithful to the world at large and his plan for greater salvation. But me, my personal ins and outs in my life, I doesn't care so much about that. Yeah, he does. He knows every hair on your head. He really does care about the tiny little things in your life. You just have to keep reminding him that you're out there and you really want him in your life, and then open your heart and life to him more and more every day.
So commit this verse to memory so that God's word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's John 17, verse 1. I will not leave you orphans, says the Lord. I will come back to you. And your hearts will rejoice. Keep that in mind in those times where you feel that God has left you high and dry. That is not true at all. He loves you, and he is present. Where are you struggling to connect with God's love in your life today? In your marriage? Are your kids driving you crazy? Are you not feeling that sense of peace in your heart? We're here to help. 877-573-7825. Pick up the phone and give us a call. But first, some good news from the Journal of Family Psychology, both for strengthening your family and depression-proofing your kids. A new study of American youth found that family obligation, for instance, helping to care for siblings or helping elders, actually plays a very positive role in the mental health of American adolescents and may even prevent symptoms of depression in later teenage years. They found that 14-year-olds who have a greater sense of family obligation, as defined by helping with siblings or helping with elderly parents who are living in the home.
Or grandparents.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Reported fewer depressive symptoms by the time they reached age 16. The findings strongly suggest that family obligation might actually protect against depressive symptoms. And the authors of the study suggest that a greater sense of family obligation in the early teen years could provide teens with that strong sense of a family bond that makes them feel secure, even when they move through adolescence and become a little bit more autonomous. The study took a look at 218 American teenagers over a two-year period, and as participants grew older, they found that the actions that they took to help and support their families did decrease.
Of course, because they're aging out and going to college and doing the things they need to do to become autonomous adult individuals. However,
their attitude and the respect toward their families remained stable, and even more important, I think, for Catholic families, that those adolescents maintained their cultural and religious values even when their behavior suggested that they might be becoming a little less traditional in some ways. So the importance of actually being committed to helping the family function as a unit and to attend to the needs of others within the family was critical for teens to take the family values with them into their future, and also to help them feel like they were part of something that made them resistant to depression and other emotional problems common to adolescents.
You know, if we look at the story more deeply, the dynamic in these families, though, I want people to understand this. This was not teenagers who were parentified teenagers, where mom and dad abdicate all responsibility either because they're incapable, either physically or because of addiction problems or depression problems, and suddenly these teens are taking care of everybody. These were not teens, may I underline this a million times, who were in a situation where mom and dad had a lot of kids, and so the older kids were placed in the position of co-parent with the parents. The parents were still very much in charge in these situations. These were kids who had a fair amount of responsibility for younger siblings or helping with grandparents in the home, but knew very specifically that everyone, including the parents, were working very hard and doing their part. This wasn't disordered in any way. These were kids who were not the kids who were said, "Oh, honey, I'll clean your room, and I'll make your dinner, and I'll do your laundry, and you just sit on the couch and play your video game. You don't have to lift a finger because you're so wonderful." These are kids of families that worked together, and the kids had responsibilities with inside the home, not just for their own stuff, but for helping out with people who had needs in their families, either younger siblings or grandparents.
But the important thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, when responsibilities for family well-being are divided up in a healthy way, it actually enables kids to feel a greater sense of self-esteem, to help them become depression resistant. You know, we talk a lot about this in Parenting with Grace, a Catholic parent guide to raising almost perfect kids, that an important part of self-esteem is feeling like the child can contribute to the greater good of the family. It's a piece that a lot of parents forget, because we tend to focus a lot on serving our children. And this is especially true of attachment parents. One trap that a lot of attachment parents can fall into is that service can be one-sided, where I feel like I have to attend to all of my child's needs. But I forget that another important part of attachment is that as my child gets older, they have to contribute to the good of the family and to help me meet my needs as well to the best of their ability. By doing that, not only do the family bonds become more become stronger and more increased, the child's sense of self-esteem, the child's sense of belonging, and the child's ability to resist many emotional problems that come through, you know, adolescence and through, you know, just dealing with all the difficult relationships that come with that, are, you know, their ability to resist that is increased. So parents, don't forget to require, and in fact, be happy to require your children to do things like cleaning their rooms and helping out with their brothers and sisters and doing the things that help your family function well, as long as you are remembering to stay in there first as the most important caregiver and parent and primary authority in your home. Like Lisa was saying, we're not talking about parentified kids where the parents just sort of absent themselves for one reason or another and the children just run around taking care of everything because mom and dad just don't have their stuff together enough to do it. We're talking about families where the parents are really engaged with each child and all the responsibilities of running the household, but the children are expected to do their part to help the household run well. These households raise children who are depression resistant, who carry the family's values with them into adulthood, and have a higher sense of self-esteem because of the stronger family bonds that they enjoy. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. That's the toll-free number you can call with your tough marriage, family, or personal struggles. If you are having a hard time with those family bonds these days, you don't feel as connected to your spouse as you would like to be. You feel like you're at odds with your kids. you know, you're listening to us and you're saying, geez, help my kids helping with their siblings or their you know, elderly grandparents living in the household. I can't trust them to be alone playing with their siblings for 5 minutes without killing each other. How could I possibly expect them to do anything responsible that they might not want to do if they can't even handle the fun stuff? Or maybe it's a different issue altogether, and you're having a hard time with your own struggles with depression or anxiety, bitterness, anger, or other feelings that are holding you back from God's love and grace. Well, give us a call. Let's work it out together so that you can find those faithful, effective, joy-filled, productive, proactive answers to whatever questions are weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Stick around, more coming up with your questions, comments, and insights right after this.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Salt and light. When you go to the doctor's office, you often get a prescription, and you expect that prescription to work. It does, usually. Today's gospel gives us Jesus' prescription for a happy life, and his prescription works too. If you want to be happy, listen to Jesus teaching us the way. This is what he teaches. Follow his prescription. You can be sure it works. Blessed, or we should say happy, fortunate, or even lucky, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed or fortunate or happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed or fortunate or happy, whatever you like, are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you because of me, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. You can say that he wants us all to be prophets by the way we live, and prophets sometimes get mistreated. It's all in the day's work. But follow Jesus' prescription for happiness with confidence. It really works. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Let's go to the phones right now. We're talking to Katie in San Antonio, Texas. Katie, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Sure. What can we do for you today?
I'm a recent convert, and my
welcome home.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. So our children were not raised in the church, and my daughter was married in July of 07,
mm-hmm.
and they had a little girl just recently in February.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We've never been totally happy about the man that she chose.
Okay.
He's been in the family since they were in junior high. He was in our son's Boy Scout troop. So we've known him and his family for quite a while.
Wow, you've known him that long. And and you weren't able to get through to her that maybe he wasn't the right guy for her in all those years?
She was actually not attracted to him until her junior year of college.
Okay, go on. I'm really intrigued by this. Go ahead.
He had a son. I guess chronologically, he's 18 months older than her, two grades ahead of her. And through school years, he was just not her type. She would have nothing to do with him. Absolutely despised him. And he had a child out of wedlock. with a woman that is extremely chemically dependent. In fact, she's doing time in prison right now.
Wow. And how old was he when that happened?
The father was 18, and the child is now 8. My daughter and her husband are raising the child full-time. The mother is, like I said, incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to her incarceration, he's 8 now. He was approximately 5 when she was imprisoned by the bars, but the imprisonment with the drugs has been all his life.
So this kid's been through an awful lot.
So now it says on the board that they were visiting this weekend, but you're concerned about how much your son-in-law is drinking.
I was visiting them.
You were visiting them.
Yeah, they were 3 hours away. They were supposed to come here to go do it. It's the 8-year-old's birthday on Friday. They were supposed to have come here and go to SeaWorld for his birthday. Well, the father's diabetic, and he was apparently having problems with his diabetes and wasn't feeling well, and they were going to do birthday things there. So we said, okay, we'll come there. So we arrived Friday. He had just had an outrage. My husband got there before I did. We were in separate vehicles. My husband got there first, and he said that the father was just screaming and ranting and raving and carrying on, and the two nieces and nephews that were there were hiding in another bedroom. He wanted to hurry up and go eat as soon as we got there, and when I kind of felt like the grandson should be able to open up his presents. It's his birthday. His grandparents just got there. But dinner was a priority. We had to hurry up and go eat. So we went to eat. We came home, and then the child had to wait for his present so that the other presents could be wrapped that were not from us. It was from other people.
Okay. Just in the interest of time, though, Katie, what's your question? How can we help you here?
Okay, he drank Friday night to me heavily, and he was nice to me, and he would talk. Saturday morning, he never got out of bed. He was never part of the family with breakfast and getting ready to go for the birthday party festivities, and he didn't have any social time with anybody. Then when we got the baby, we stayed with the baby during the day, and then that evening we were all meeting for dinner again where the party was, and he had been drinking, and there again he wants to talk, he wants to be around me, he's real social.
Mm-hmm. So as long as he's drinking, he's sociable and pleasant, but basically he's drinking too much and he's not able to participate otherwise. So what's your daughter think about all this? Have you talked to her about it?
Well, we haven't. I try to get her to open up. I don't want to tell her. You know, she knows. She sort of has a really good feeling about how I feel. I've tried to hide it, but then I think she has a feeling of the way I feel. And there's been times that I've told her, you know, that I don't approve of what. I mean, I heard him calling me your effing mother. Yesterday,
I guess here's the thing. I mean, it's not about you, right? I mean, you know, I mean, that's problematic if he's calling you names and all that. But I'm, you know, I'm more concerned about your daughter and their child. And the way you want to approach this is by, you know, saying to her, listen, I know, you know, daughter, that I've had, you know, reservations in the past, and I've worked really hard to keep those in check and to be as supportive as I can, but I was really concerned about this past weekend's visit. What do you make of that? Is that the way it is all the time? You know, and just try to get her to talk about that and see whether she's willing to open up about it. Ultimately, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot to change the situation except to make sure that those lines of communication between you and she stay open. So if you come off as too strong or too judgmental in it, then, you know, she's going to shut you out. But if you're able to say, you know, I was just concerned about this. What's it like most of the time? Can you talk to me more about your experience?
The idea of not just, is it like that all the time? Because she'll go, no, because she's going to be ashamed. You know, anybody living in that kind of situation, there's a certain amount of shame that goes with it that makes them want to shut down. But to say, how often is this happening? What do you feel like when you're living in that situation? You know, how do you deal with it? You know, ask her very leading questions that she just can't say yes or no and change the subject.
Okay. All right, Katie. So, you know, and continue to... And say again, I'm sorry.
This is why I called you, because I this is where I need the help, is how do I open up these conversations? And I'm writing down everything that y'all are suggesting. No yes or no questions is a good idea.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing is visit more often so that you have your own personal data to try to work off of, you know, because she's going to minimize it. She's embarrassed. She's ashamed of the whole thing. She wants to make it work. So, you know, she's invested in not admitting the seriousness of the problem. But if you're there, you know, providing help, providing moral support, you know, not making a big deal out of it while you're there, but getting your own information so that you can know what she's talking about. And again, reflect back to her, this is what I saw, what did you make of all of that? You know, and just sort of leading her through it, through those Socratic questions, you'll help her come to the light ultimately and hopefully get him the help that he needs and the marriage the help that it needs. I want to thank you for the call, Katie. If there's more we can do for you here, don't hesitate to give us a holler. We are here for you, and we'll certainly be keeping your daughter and her marriage in our prayers here on Heart, Mind, and Strength. 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number you can call with your tough marriage, family, and personal struggles, whatever situation you are facing today. If it has to do with bringing your faith and your life more in line with each other, and let's face it, what situation doesn't? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Greg. What situation doesn't? A lot of us go through life thinking that, no, they're pretty much separate. I went to church on Sunday. Yesterday was Sunday. I did that. And part of me being Catholic on a Sunday, I go to church and maybe I have this tradition. You know, maybe we have a big family meal with grandma and we have roast chicken every Sunday. See, there's our Catholic culture right there. We have a multi-generational meal on a Sunday afternoon after Mass. That's it. And my faith doesn't get looked at again till Sunday afternoon. Or Sunday morning again when I get up for Mass.
Or the people who think that they're really serious about their faith, they'll do that, but then maybe they'll also go to Sunday to daily Mass, or they'll say, you know, they'll have, say, a daily rosary or some other prayers. And they sort of limit their faith life to their prayer life. And they're pious Catholics, which is certainly a good thing. I'm not bashing that.
But we need to let it enlighten every other decision, choice, word out of our mouth. You know, it's like our morning offering. Every thought, every word, every act. And if you're not integrating those words, thoughts, and acts very well with your faith, give us a call. We'll help you figure out how to do it. 877-573-7825. Right now, Greg, we're going to Carlos in Houston, Texas.
Carlos, welcome to the program. How can we help you today, sir?
Well, it has to do with a serious problem that I'm currently going through therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do basically with sexual addiction. And I'm asking both of you, where in the Bible, what prayers, where can I go to read to re-strengthen my resolve to conquer this?
So you're looking for spiritual resources to help you in your recovery?
Yes.
Okay, and you're getting therapy right now?
Yes.
Okay, are you also involved in SA, for instance, Sexual Addictions Anonymous?
No, not as yet.
Okay, I think that would be really important to get the support that you need, because, you know, therapy plays an extraordinarily important role in beating addictions, in particular by helping you build the relationships that can be supportive and starting to make the changes in your emotions and your life that will continue to support your sobriety. But the actual beating the addiction part, you know, that has a tendency to be more about peer support. And so being involved in an SA group would be really, really important. If you go to SA.org, SexaholicsAnonymous.org, SA.org, you can find chapters in your area, and I'd really recommend that you check that resource out as soon as possible. As far as spiritual resources, are you Catholic, Carlos?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to participate in the Sacrament of Reconciliation at least weekly for the time being, you know, because you want to make sure that you're getting the grace that you need to stay sexually sober and to remain chaste. And there's nothing more powerful. I mean, that is a sacrament of healing, right? And so we go and we receive that sacrament of healing so that we can have the accountability that we need and also receive the grace that we need to stay spiritually sober. And if you can go to the same priest all the time, I think that would be even better, because then you've got additional accountability in that way. Whether you go face to face or behind the screen is up to you, but I think it would be important to develop a relationship with someone who could serve as a spiritual director or at least a regular confessor that you can go to each week to kind of talk about your struggles there and receive the grace that you need to remain sexually sober. You might want to talk to that pastor as well about receiving anointing of the sick, and that's sort of a creative use of that sacrament, but there's nothing wrong with it. Again, it's a sacrament of healing, right? And so in the sacrament of anointing of the sick, you want to make sure that you're receiving that grace that you need to remain sober and to beat whatever chemical components of that addiction might be there working against you. I think that would be a very, very good idea. You know, you want to reflect a little bit on the life of St. Augustine, I think, as well, and his confessions would be a good resource for you to talk. It's very readable, and he talks about the life that he lived before his conversion, and his life where his big prayer was, God, give me chastity, but not yet, and how he came to appreciate the role of chastity in his life, and how, God really reached him and helped him understand what the true, authentic expression of love required, and it's a beautiful reflection on repentance and reconciliation and on finding communion with God. And so those resources, I think, would be very helpful to you in your journey toward greater sexual sobriety. But again, I think that confession has to be the backbone, as well
as...
Yes, sir.
One more thing. If you can please inform the public, because this is an addiction that's probably going to be the new sexual addiction. And unfortunately, I think Clinton was a godsend because he was a sexual addict, even though he was in denial. But this is a growing problem that needs to be made aware to the country, because this is so destructive, it can destroy the intimacy in a marriage. And again, sexual addiction covers many things: pornography, prostitution, going to those ugly strip clubs. It's just not necessarily something real ugly, but it's something I hope in the future that both of you together as professionals can maybe one day dedicate a program, because there are many, many people in denial, whether it be truck drivers, policemen, politicians, or whatever. But it's something that needs to be addressed now, because I believe Rome, if I'm correct, crumbled of adversity. So what I'm trying to say that if this is not...
Oh, it's something that we talk regularly about on the program, Carlos.
We do, and you are absolutely right that this is now kind of the new pathology. It's certainly been a pathology across the world for a long time. It's getting worse and worse here as we get
accessible. More
and more of this constantly being plugged in, constantly on the Internet, even on handheld devices now. We talked to a priest friend of ours who said that, when he does confessions for junior high kids, that more than 80% of the young boys coming in junior high are confessing pornography addiction in 7th and 8th grade. So I absolutely agree with you, Carlos. This is becoming epidemic, and we do discuss it quite frequently.
One of the resources, Carlos, that I'm going to leave you with is our book, Holy Sex, A Catholic Guide to Mind-Blowing, Toe-Curling, Infallible Loving. And you might say, well, geez, that sounds like a awfully provocative book for somebody who's dealing with sexual addiction. No, but what it is, it's a book that does two things. We do address sexual addiction in the book, in a chapter toward the end, but we also spend most of the book talking about what a healthy Catholic sexuality looks like, how it can be fruitful and full and faithful and very, very chaste at the same time. It's a wonderful resource for couples who are seeking to experience the fullness of the Catholic vision of love. It's also a great resource for folks whose sexual identity in some way is somehow skewed or really struggling. And again, it's a great book to help you figure that out and support you in your journey towards sexual sobriety and true, authentic sexual intimacy. I hope you'll follow through with those recommendations, Carlos. If there's more we can do for you here, you know where to find us. We're taking your calls, folks, at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. What's going on in your life? If you're struggling today, give us a call. Again, the number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
More with your questions, comments, and insights coming up right after this.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA. or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya, and this week on Light of the East on Ave Maria, we will look at the Church's version of the Hall of Fame, and also we will talk with a seminarian from Slovakia about the whole question of married priesthood versus the celibate priesthood.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Once again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Whether you're struggling with marriage problems, personal issues, parenting questions, we're here to help you with practical, effective, faith-filled answers. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. But first, it's time for Letters from Home, where we take a look at the writings of a brother or sister's words to encourage us on our journey toward our heavenly home. Today's letter comes to us from St. John Vianney, who writes about humility. He says, "Humility is to the virtues what the chain is to the rosary. Take away the chain and the beads are scattered. Remove humility and all virtues vanish." You know, St. John Vianney is reminding us that unless we're willing to be instructed, unless we're willing to be schooled, then we cannot experience any of the virtues. We can't actually have any benefit from our spiritual life, because we think we know it all already.
Yes, without virtue, suddenly comes in the sin of pride, and everything gets imbalanced. Everything becomes, well, those people we don't really want to be around. Those people who are so religious, so pious, so holier than thou, that they don't end up being a good witness to the faith. They actually end up being a distraction from the faith. Somebody who pushes you aside and you don't want to have anything to do with it at all. Humility keeps us from becoming those people.
St. John Vianney today is reminding us of the importance of humility in our virtuous life so that we can learn from our mistakes and learn from those who are more mature in the spiritual life than us. We're taking your calls now at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. Greg, I have a very painful email here from Leslie in Beaverton, Oregon, who writes, "Dear Dr. Greg and Lisa, I dread my father-in-law coming to visit us, and I have to put up with it 4 or 5 times a year for 1 or 2 weeks at a time. I try to get along with him, but he's such a negative human being. He constantly compares me to my husband's ex-wife. He makes no secret of the fact that he liked her better, and nothing I seem to do changes his mind. He just doesn't like me and is mean to me, and his comparisons to her constantly hurt me. My husband has corrected his father and even told him that if he didn't stop, Dad, you'll have to leave, but nothing changes. After a couple of hours, my father-in-law is at it again. I swear it's like trying to correct a little kid. I'm really sick and tired of the games and the insults, under my roof no less. I think it's long past time that my husband follow through on his threats to not let his dad come to our house anymore. But when I talk to my husband about it, he just says there's no way he can tell his dad not to stay at our house. I told him that if he can't stand up to his father, then the next time he comes for a visit, I'll be forced to leave and take the children with me until his dad goes back home. I'm not trying to keep the kids away from their grandfather by any way, but my husband works fairly long hours and someone needs to look out for them. Of course, this didn't go over very well with my husband. He accused me of being unreasonable and controlling. At the time, I didn't care, but now I'm having second thoughts. What do you think? Did I go too far? Leslie in Beaverton, Oregon.
All right, Leslie, thanks so much for writing into Heart, Mind, and Strength. We appreciate your question. Of course, we're taking your calls, folks, at 877-573-7825. If you've got your own question, give us a holler. Or if you've got some thoughts for Leslie, we'd love to hear from you as well at 877-573-7825. But here's the deal, Leslie. I think you're on the right track. You might have come off as pouting, or you might have come off as tantruming to your husband, and maybe you were. I don't know. But I do know that this choice that you're proposing, that if, you know, either your husband or he if your husband won't say anything to your father-in-law, or he won't let you say something to your father-in-law, then the only other option you've really got is to remove yourself from the situation, and not just for your own good, but for your father-in-law's good as well. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, when your father-in-law treats you in this insulting manner, he's not just degrading you, he's demeaning himself, right? And because of that, your relationship with your father-in-law is actually a near occasion of sin for him. For whatever reason, he can't seem to be in your presence for very long without lapsing into this very denigrating, inappropriate, disrespectful behavior. And that counts against his soul, as well as destroying your sense of peace. So the only loving thing you can do, if he won't obey your limits, is remove yourself from the situation. Now, if your husband's not happy about that, perhaps your husband needs to step up and say, well, Dad, you know, we'd love to have you come and visit us at any time as long as you can keep a civil tongue in your head, but you certainly can't stay here and insult my wife under our own roof. Not that it's appropriate to insult you in any other roof either, but especially in your own house, to treat you in this really disrespectful and unacceptable manner is just completely beyond the pale.
I mean, the only addendum I can add to this, and I'd be remiss in not adding it, but I don't think it's really the problem based on the email, is if this is a man of advancing years, the idea that you correct him, your son, your husband corrects him, and like an hour or so later he's back at it, if there's some kind of early dementia going on here, the early signs of dementia where he's just becoming kind of that cantankerous personality because he's dealing with, you know, brain issues, then of course, you know, righteous indignation has to be suspended because it's no longer righteous and all charity has to occur.
Right.
You know, if he can't help it, then you offer it up. But if this is a man of completely sound mind, and you really need to check your math on that and make sure that's the case, then by all means, you know, follow
what you're saying. Keep an eye on it, by all means. Keep an eye on it, by all means. But the reality is, this relationship, you're well within your rights to remove yourself from the children. And if your husband is upset about that, again, he has something he can do about that. You know, he can tell his dad to not insult you and to not come and stay at the house if he's going to continue his behavior.
And it really has to be before the next visit.
Absolutely.
Before the next insult comes out of his mouth and everybody's emotional temperature is coming up. It has to be, oh, Dad, okay, you're coming and you're staying a couple of weeks? Great. Here are our terms. We can't wait to see you. We love you, but you need to accept the fact that this woman is my wife now, and I will not have you insulting Leslie under my roof. Don't compare her to my ex-wife. That's over and done with. This is the woman I'm sharing the rest of my life with. These are my children. You're insulting their mother. It doesn't occur. If it occurs,
you're out.
It's done. We can't have it happen again. And he gives you total permission that if he starts to cave, you pick up and you go. But he has to set the limits before the next visit occurs.
Thanks for the email, Leslie. If there's more we can do for you here, don't hesitate to give us a holler. 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number you can call with those tough questions about extended family or your own personal relationships with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, people in your parish or your neighborhood. Whatever it is, it's holding you back from experiencing the joy, the peace, and the purpose that God has for your life. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio at ExceptionalMarriages.com.
Stick around, a whole lot more coming up right after this.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. We recently recorded and did a delayed broadcast of an evangelism conference with Archbishop Charles Chaput and Sherry Wydell, hosted by Sacred Heart Major Seminary. This must-have 2-CD delayed broadcast set is $17. The Divine Mercy Center and Right to Life of Michigan jointly hosted Arrested by Mercy, Caught in the Healing Glance of Jesus. The 3-CD delayed broadcast set is $25.50. All editions of Christ in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order for one of these titles or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Heart to Heart, a Catholic women's apostolate, meets Thursday the 11th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. As secularists continue to tell us there's no black and white, but only gray, Raymond D'Souza reminds us that good and evil are clearly defined. Raymond's EWTN program has changed many lives, so join us, won't you? There's no charge or registration required. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H. The Rosary and Mass precede the talk at 6 at the chapel in Lobby C. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
The Catholic Mass is the most sacred act of worship in which a person can participate. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ sat down with his chosen apostles and does something new, something never done before, and yet something which continues until the end of time. The Catholic Mass Revealed is a beautifully written, recorded, and filmed production. This collection will rekindle your heart, inspire your soul, and enlighten your mind. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the online store to get the Catholic Mass Revealed. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
You know, with that last email we were just talking about with Leslie, you know, a lot of times people get really confused about how do you set effective boundaries with people who are being insulting to you, whether that's a spouse or a father-in-law in Leslie's case, or anybody else. You know, how do you, you know, respect the requirements of Christian charity while not letting people walk all over you? And we can often feel guilty because secular therapy advice is often, well, just get rid of those people. You know, you don't need them in your life. And it comes off as selfish and self-serving, and of course we as Christians can't be either of those things. But one thing that is not discussed very much in secular therapy, of course, because it's just not the language that they use, is this whole idea of the near occasion of sin. When somebody is treating us badly, you know, and our mere presence is enough to provoke disrespectful treatment from someone, then our relationship potentially becomes a near occasion of sin for that person. They fall into that sin of anger, and they start beating up on us, and they can't control themselves no matter how much we ask them or try to work with them. Then it's time to remove ourselves, not just for our good, but for theirs. And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. We need to try to repair the relationship, because any breakdown in the body of Christ is a serious problem. But having done what we can do to repair the relationship, to bring healing, or try to address the concerns that the other person is bringing to our attention, however inappropriately, you know, we've done our bit. You know, we've done our bit in charity. And then it's time to start saying, you know, when you're ready to approach me respectfully, when you're ready to approach me as an adult, you know, and work this out together, then come and find me. But until then, I actually love you too much to let you get away with this kind of behavior. And so I have to remove myself whenever you're around. Or I have to limit myself to those interactions that I know are going to be safe and where you can control yourself. And if you want more of a relationship with me, great, I would love that. But you need to learn better self-control so I can learn to trust you again. And so that my charity and my hospitality won't be used by you in an inappropriate way. Well, we're here for you if you're having a hard time figuring out how to set those boundaries. Pick up the phone, give us a call at 877-573-7825 or shoot us an email.
At radio at exceptionalmarriages.com, the way John in Florida did. Greg? Hold on to your seat. This one's an interesting one. He writes, Dear Dr. Greg and Lisa, my wife and I had a nephew who passed away. He was in his early 40s, and we were both in our late 50s. My nephew had two children, a drug-addicted son, who he lived with, and a daughter who lives out of state. He wasn't very close to his daughter, but when we called her when he passed, she came down and took care of everything, the funeral, the flowers, the reception. We were really surprised and touched to see how she stepped in, despite their having grown apart. We felt terrible when we found out that my nephew left the bulk of his estate to his son and just a token to his daughter. Yesterday, I went to the family plot where he's buried for the first time. It's been a year since he died, and I got to read the stone for the first time. It has his name and birth date and the following inscription. I just didn't think, ... which is a phrase my nephew used often. My wife and I were appalled. This is the family plot, and we both plan to be buried there. But this headstone is an embarrassment to our whole family. We are not sure how to approach our niece and nephew about this. How do we get this embarrassing situation reversed? I don't feel like I can let this stand, but I'm stuck for a way to approach her. How do I get her to see what a stupid choice this was and get her to change it? If not for her dad's sake, then for the sake of the family. John in Florida.
Well, John, I think this is probably one of those cases of what I have written, I have written.
Well put. Dear.
I'm not so sure that you're going to get the daughter to change this. I'm not exactly sure what it means, actually, when you get right down to it. I just didn't think, ... I mean, it doesn't sound good.
The fact of the matter is that strangers who go to visit your headstones in the future will have absolutely no clue what kind of significance that means in his life. And it's not like she put swear words on the,
right.
On the headstone. You know, it's not something that's overtly embarrassing to your family.
No, I mean, honestly, this is one of those things I'm afraid you're just going to have to let it go. I mean, really, you know, your niece, I guess, well, grandniece.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Has made the choice, and this is what she's chosen to honor her father with, and so that's kind of what it is. What she's written, you know, and it's like Lisa said, it's not so horribly embarrassing that people are going to come and laugh at your whole family because of this.
I mean, I've seen really embarrassing headstones in my time. This really isn't one of them. Would it be nice if it was very religious and pious looking, or at least just, you know, his name and birth date and death date and or done for your sake, yeah. But I want to add to the fact that, you know, I mean, John, it's been a year. It's the first time you've seen the headstone. Only those very close to your family who will care will ever really go there. And they'll know the family situation and everybody will go, and then they'll remember you or your wife, and they'll move on. This is not something to move heaven and earth over and make a big stink out of. And I mean, even if you were offering to pay for a brand new headstone, which if you, against our advice, choose to do this, you better ante up the money for every red cent. And even then, I wouldn't do it. Because it's just going to cause all sorts of family havoc and lots of tears and stress in the long run, and you just don't want to be known as that person who made somebody, you know, go back and revisit the burial of their father just to replace the headstone because you want something that's going to make you more comfortable.
Well, here's the thing, though, too. I mean, this daughter, I mean, your nephew is in his 40s, so the daughter can't be, you know, much older than 20-something, right? You know, who knows? Maybe if this is his catchphrase, this is something that he said all the time, as far as she's concerned, this might be her way of honoring him. If it's coming off badly to you, there's no way to know, right? Unless you call her up and say, so what the heck does that mean? And then you're going to insult her. I think you just need to kind of get over it. The reality is people memorialize those who have gone on in their own way. it doesn't reflect on your family. It doesn't reflect on you. It reflects on her relationship with her father, which was odd, and frankly, he didn't think. And so perhaps there's a lot that he didn't think about.
It's probably a very fitting memorial. I mean, Kara's suggesting, you know, you plant, because she's saying flowers to cover it, but when you're dead and gone, you're worried about, so like an evergreen plant that'll grow up over that phrase right there on the grave. It's a possibility, especially since the daughter's never really in town to see it, but I'd just say, just let it go. This is one of those things that
offering it up.
In the big eternal picture, it doesn't matter. God's not judging you or your family by what is on this guy's headstone. Just let it go.
Thanks for the email, though. We will certainly keep your family situation in our prayers here at Heart, Mind, and Strength. Well, folks, it is hard to sometimes know when to speak up and when to offer it up. And on Heart, Mind, and Strength, we try to give you some of those guidelines to let you know when the times are to just let things go versus the times to really fight for something. And generally speaking, the time to fight for something is when you are talking about, you know, somebody who is getting in the way of our emotional, physical, spiritual health, or stops us from being the person God wants us to be. For those things that are just differences in preference, even serious differences in preference, it's best just to let these things go. And if you need more help, we're here for you every day. Just don't hesitate to give us a call. In fact, you can come on over and visit us between shows at our address. It's www.exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, find out more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute, and lots of other resources to help you live a more faithful and abundant life. All there at exceptionalmarriages.com. Now, we'll be here tomorrow, taking your calls, responding to your questions, sharing your insights. But until then, get on out there and love the Lord
with all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
So I choose to love with my heart, mind, and strength. With your precious grace, everything I face, I will overcome with my heart, mind, and strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
People are coming from all over to see and hear Father John Carapi live at the 19,000-seat HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York. Saturday, August 15th, Father Carapi will make his only scheduled public speaking appearance of the year and his first since 2007, and will ignite your faith with four Power Pack talks on the Holy Spirit. Tickets have been purchased by people from 45 states, as well as Australia, the Philippines, and throughout Canada. Appearing with Father John Carapi will be EWTN's Raymond Arroyo and me, Jerry Usher, your master of ceremonies.
Join Ave Maria Radio on this three-day pilgrimage that also includes a visit to the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto to see the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit. For complete information, call Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888. That's 313-565-8888. Or on the web at ctscentral.net.
You need the prophetic message and inspiration of Father John Carapi.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popcheck.
A lot of ink has been spilled in the secular press of late on the phenomenon of girls gone wild. Articles in nationally recognized publications have been fretting about immodesty, sexual promiscuity, and public displays of debauchery by both celebrities and wannabes. I find all this fretting by the secular culture just a little bit ironic. After all, isn't this what the sexual revolution fought for? For the last half century, secular society has actively pushed the notion that morality is oppressive, that if we truly want to be ourselves, we must stop doing what our parents, the church, or anyone else tells us to do, and simply indulge, or, if you prefer, celebrate what comes naturally. But the church has been consistent in its warnings that it is morality that makes us human. When humans abandon our moral compass, we lose our way. We become less human. We go wild. The answer, of course, is not instituting some artificial morality based on arbitrary rules, but rather discovering a morality that